service initiative of the town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Ruth Walasoff.
Hi, John.
And that was wonderful, Ruth. Honestly, I mean, Barbara is...
It was such
an expression. She's a gift to Project Independence.
Yeah, she is. And she's very clever.
And especially to seniors, because,
Very clever.
Yeah, oh, she's very. She's and very over bright. The years, seniors are becoming more and more venturesome. To get an iPhone, to get something. I mean, because you have to. If you want to keep up, as...
It's very important to be technologically savvy.
I FaceTime a couple of times a week with my grandkids. I mean, I see them enough, too. It's not like I don't see them.
I tried FaceTime recently. My daughter went to Italy.
Nice.
And I saw her.
While she was over there?
Yes.
Good. But that's
the
purpose.
So that was nice.
And who would have thought, the last time you thought of that was with Star Trek, honestly, like 25 years ago, beam me up, Scotty. That's Star Trek? Yeah, that's Star Trek. But now today it's second nature, just like Facebook, oh, look where they are, or as I said, from a FaceTime, I love Papa, and they're, hello, are you? It's good. Anyway, let's move on to our next guest, who's Eileen Corina. Eileen is the president of Pulse Center for Patient Safety Education and Advocacy. And Eileen's been on before, but it's a couple of years ago. And a topic like this, a subject like this, is always so important because patient safety
especially
education.
Especially for senior citizens.
100%. You have to realize that your voice is heard. And if it's not heard from your mouth, it has to be heard from somebody else's. Eileen, good morning, and thank you so much for coming.
Good morning. I'm thrilled to be here.
How did this come about? I always like to know how people get involved in things.
The history. Many years ago, in the late 90s, my son needed surgery.
Okay.
And I wanted to find out something about the surgeon that was going to operate on him. And I found that there was no information out there to find out about the doctor I'm going to use. I wanted to shop for a doctor. And we started lobbying in New York State for what's called physician profiles to get information accessible to us on our doctor's background. So I started talking to community groups, senior groups, PTAs, and meeting people on the street and asking them what do they know about their doctor. And I found that people really knew very little about their doctor that they were choosing, that they were choosing someone because they've just gone to them for many years, they liked them, somebody else used them, they didn't know, they didn't have a relationship really with their physicians. This was especially important to me because a few years earlier, I had a son who had surgery and died from a tonsillectomy.
Oh, God.
So this became very important to me because I liked the doctor that did the surgery. I trusted him. I found that there was a terrible mistake in his care, in my son's care, but nobody was going to learn from this. Nobody wanted to talk to me about it. Nobody wanted to know my opinion about what went wrong and what could have been improved. And as I began lobbying and talking to people about their medical care, I found that there were so many stories of poor outcomes, unplanned events, injuries and deaths from medical care. And I started going to medical conferences related to patient safety. And that's where I learned that healthcare professionals also knew that there were serious problems in healthcare, that medical errors now they say is the third leading cause of
that
death
I know
in the country.
The third leading cause. That I know.
Right.
People can get infections if they're in the hospital.
Yes, infections, wrong medications, falls, communication, misdiagnosis. These are all areas of health care that aren't being discussed with the public. They're very much being discussed with the health care professionals.
Right.
They're not telling the patient and families that these things can happen. And that's what we do is we started using not just true stories of people's experiences that worked, because we don't really want to hear about, we know about the bad things that happen, but we also want to know what could have been done differently, what people do to protect themselves. Everything we learn is from a grassroots perspective of people who have used the healthcare system the people who are named in the studies that the researchers are researching and talking about.
Didn't the UU help you?
Yes. Actually, we were founded in the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Freeport.
I think the Unitarians are so humane.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a wonderful support there. Our board members started there. Our meetings, we still meet there.
You remember the UU?
I'm a member, yeah.
I am too.
Member. Are you?
But Shelter Rock.
Well, yeah, it's we're all related.
Right, that's the truth.
Across the country, actually. And I find that, well, actually, people who are Unitarian Universalists are very often, we're going to turn this into a religious conversation, but are very open to supporting people who are different.
And that's 100%, right.
That's one of the things. We've gotten grants from the Long Island UU Foundation, the fund, to look at disparities in care. We work with the African-American communities.
Okay.
Studies are out there that the incidence of death and injury are way higher with the African-American community. Those aren't my words. That's the research.
That's reality.
That's reality.
Statistics.
Right. So it's not an opinion. These are facts. We work closely with the transgender community. That's also the UU support people who are different. People with disabilities also get substandard care.
They're very humane. Really humane.
Yeah. So thank you for that. Because I'm actually on my board now of my congregation. So.
Oh, are you really?
So thank you for letting me plug it.
Yeah. No, that's I have 1 year left.
Yeah.
I'm on the board until 2020, then I'm off.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, and we got our first grant from there also. So in 1999. So we've been
from the Shelter Rock.
From the
or the UU.
UU.
No, we'll get the okay.
It's all related. Yeah.
And where was this?
The grant or
the UU
Is in Freeport. Our congregation,
Freeport.
Oh, okay. South Nassau UU congregation in Freeport. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you for that. We were holding support groups for survivors of medical injury, recognizing that society says, I hope you're going to find a lawyer. And I was very offended by that because this was not about a lawsuit. I didn't need any money. I didn't want to not talk about my experience. So, and lawyers don't take cases usually for young children or elderly people because of the financial loss is minimal. And I didn't want to sue. So we give an opportunity for people to tell their stories. If they can't find an attorney, they don't want to find an attorney, they want to make sure it never happens again. And very often when something bad happens, we're still going to need to use that hospital.
Of course.
And we don't want to be involved in a hospital that isn't improving. And we want our voices heard, and that's what we've been encouraging across the country for the last 20 years.
I didn't realize it until I looked, when I saw you were going to be on the show today, because I'm a financial advisor. Financial advisors and lawyers, you can find plenty about them. You know, any violation, any this, that, and the other thing, then you can call and say, well, this is 100% your fault. But there wasn't stuff for doctors, which is amazing.
Right.
It was just that mystique of you never questioned them. But when it's the third leading cause of death, from hospital malcare or whatever you want to call it, it makes sense that there should be something. Because there is a guy that's going to have five or six against them. It's like, wait a minute.
Right. And we don't even want people to use that. Because even if you go into what's called the best hospital in the state, mistakes happen.
100%.
A lot of it comes from what we try to
think about. I had an experience with that. My aunt was in a hospital in Manhattan. I will not say the name of the hospital. And it was considered a good hospital. And she was very, very sick and very, very weak. And I went there every day after work. I was a teacher. And I said, I would go there every day. And I didn't discover her in her room. And I asked where she was. And I was told that she had been taken some time ago for a test. And I went to the place. And she was on a very thin, very narrow bed. And she was very uncomfortable. And she was extremely weak. So I looked at the chart on the bed, and it was a different name than her name. So I told the doctor, and she was sent back to her room. But if I had not come, and I didn't advocate for her because she wasn't in a position that she could do it herself, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah,
right.
And sometimes these things might happen and you never even know about it because they just take care of it.
They get away with it.
A lot of what we focus on is very similar when you think about going on the airplane and being told about wearing your seatbelt and oxygen. And I use a picture on our Facebook page. We have a picture of the Miracle on the Hudson, where all the people are standing on
that
the
one, okay.
on the wing, mm-hmm. and then the people who get the credit for that safe landing are all the staff. But if the passengers weren't told over and over again every time we fly what to do, they might have panicked and they might not have known about where the life jackets are,
right,
the oxygen. So we compare it to wearing a seatbelt, not because I'm a bad driver, but what might happen. And if the only thing we have after something goes wrong is a lawsuit, we're just not going to learn and help each other. And we need to be helping each other.
That's the most significant thing, I don't mean that you've said, but a lawsuit takes care of me. It doesn't bring back the person who died, but gives me $100, $1 million, whatever the dollars is. But nobody's being helped at the end of the day, because it's going to happen then, maybe, God forbid, to your family or to Ruth's family. Doing something like this, creating an organization to educate, that's how you stop the thing. Unfortunately, it's, you know.
And we have, we do advocate training. We do, it's called Family-Centered Patient Advocacy Training. We have one coming up this month at Adelphi University. Very excited to be partnering with Adelphi School of Nursing on this. It's not clinical.
It's a course.
It's a course. It's an 8-hour course we've been doing since 2006. It went from 4 hours, 3 hours. We've got it to 8 hours is pretty much over two nights or two mornings that we do it. So this is going to be on a Tuesday and Wednesday evening in August. And there is a fee for it, but if people can't pay, we want to give a very reduced rate.
You know what
we're
going to do? We're going to have to take a break, but I want to come back. You can tell the date, the time, and how people can get involved. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.